Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast, and welcome to a special episode. We've got a guest in the house tonight to talk about a book, which we will get to in a minute. But let me welcome in my co-host, as always, JD. JD, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, Kyle. Thanks for asking. I'm really happy. I'm really upbeat. I'm in a good mood. It's almost as if somebody kicked me in the tushy about my bad attitude, but I'm super excited about tonight's show. We've got a great guest. We've had him on a few times already, and he's got a lot of great things coming up that he's got to share with us tonight. So, Kyle, kick him in.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the show. We have author Chris Clues, who has a book coming out, What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workplace. We'll just call it Volume 2. Welcome back, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks again, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. I always look forward to talking to you guys, and I feel like it's been too long, so this is great.
Yeah, well, we had you on, it was March of this year, when we talked to you for the first time. We talked about the book, and then we did a Top 5 John Hughes episode, and then we had you back in July for our Breakfast Club episode, which is one of my favorite episodes of the year. I just love that movie. And yeah, we've got a fun one in store for today, and then one that'll drop a couple days from now, which will be a top five most underrated 80s movies. So we've got our 80s guru here to drop some knowledge on us here on some movies we probably don't know about. So I'm really looking forward to that episode. But Chris, we keep growing every month, so there's a lot of listeners. They're probably hearing you for the first time, so take a minute to just kind of give a little backstory onto the first book and what's kind of led us into the second book that's going to drop here in one day on Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. One day. Yeah, it's dropping tomorrow, actually. Yep. So, yes. So the book series is What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workplace. And the first book came out back in May of 2018, I guess. Wow. And that was more of a passion project for me. It was just something I did. I was doing on the side for fun, but also because I was looking for something different than what I was doing in the corporate world, and just kind of combined my love of 80s movies and my understanding of business and put the two together and put out a little book. It did fairly well. And I, then positioned myself as a speaker on the topic also, and started getting hired at conferences to speak. And at that point, I decided it was probably a good idea to, you know, they always say that the best thing an author can do is put out their second book. So I started writing the second book in the series. And this one is actually the same title, but the subtitle is 10 More Iconic Movies, Even More Totally Awesome Business Lessons. And so I took 10 more movies from the 80s and found the business lessons in them. Now, this book, if you did purchase the first one or you're aware of the first one, it was pretty short. It's 85 pages. You can read it, you know, in a couple hours. This one's almost 200 pages. So a lot more content, bigger lessons, dive a little bit deeper into the time frame that the movies came out, and I spend a lot more time on the lessons. So that was really exciting for me to actually put out a, you know, good sized book compared to the first one. So yeah, comes out tomorrow. It's been a process. Wrote for about 4 months. I got a publisher for this one, which was great. They've been a huge help, and they've done some great stuff for me in terms of things I didn't know about with books, like pre-sales and getting endorsements like you guys did today. So
I know you have a lot of great forwards on there, but yeah, tell our audience a little bit about, you know, a couple of the forwards that you have on there are just really cool.
Yeah. So actually what I did was, so I have the endorsements and then the forward. And the forward for the book was written by Diane Franklin, who was Monique in Better Off Dead, and also Karen in The Last American Virgin, and one of the princesses in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And she's amazing. She's so cool. And we kind of connected on social media and started talking, and I asked her if she'd be interested in doing it, and she loved the idea and the book, and so here we are. I have Diane Franklin. I mean, I just, you know, my 15-year-old self was just couldn't believe that Monique from Better Off Dead was writing the foreword for my book. Super cool. So she wrote a great foreword. She's been awesome. And then, of course, you have what's called endorsements as well. And what you want to do when you put a book out initially is you get a few sample chapters. You send them out to people that you think would be good to get an endorsement from for the book. And those people could be other authors. They could be, you know, for my instance, business leaders, people in entertainment, people that are around entertainment like you guys. And you ask them for endorsements for the book that you can use in marketing, and you can put in the inside of the book as well. So when the book publishes, it has all these endorsements in the front. And you've probably seen those when you guys purchase a book, you see these endorsements. A lot of upfront work to be done, and you guys gave me a great one, and I really appreciate that. And I also got one from Ed Saxon. You may not know the name, but he is the Academy Award-winning producer of The Silence of the Lambs, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Also awesome. Producer for Philadelphia, That Thing You Do, a host of other movies. Also Kevin Barnett, who's a screenwriter and producer as well, who was producer and writer of Hall Pass with Owen Wilson, if you ever saw that one. The Do-Over, he works a lot with Adam Sandler and David Spade. Heartbreak Kid with Ben Stiller. So really cool stuff there. And then I got some business leaders as well. Some really, really high-level business leaders, chief marketing officers and presidents of pretty big companies and brands. Really exciting. And then you guys.
And most importantly, us. Like, I mean,
time podcast duo, Lightning Cub, Thunder Bear, and Lightning Cub.
After all those names, like an actress that we all know, like somebody that produced all these huge movies, CFOs, and then Back in Time podcast. I don't know how we're part of that. So thank you for throwing us a bone.
I really appreciate it. I mean, you guys are great, and believe me, you know an awful lot about movies and entertainment, a lot more than most people, and. So for me to have an endorsement from you guys in the book was huge for me. And of course, you guys have given me a platform to get out there and talk about my books. And I truly, truly appreciate that. And, you know, if this thing really takes off for me, which I hope it does, then hopefully there'll be some residual impact for you guys as well.
Oh, I love it. Now, hey, let's talk a little bit about the book, because I did get a chance to go through and read a couple of the first chapters, but I really didn't want to spoil a lot for myself. So I'll be honest, like, I skimmed through some of it and I was like, no, I just want to wait for the real book to be in my hands before I dive into this thing. But I know there's a couple that I'm really excited about. One being Ghostbusters, because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And I remember you putting up a poll topic and I just was like, all right, we're going to take this one over. Ghostbusters is winning this poll. So yeah, talk about some of the movies that are going to be in volume two and maybe some that maybe you're more excited about.
Sure. So, you know, volume one, I really stuck to some of the core movies from the 80s that I think, you know, anybody from 18 to 80 would probably know, even if they haven't seen E.T., Back to the Future, The Breakfast Club, you know, movies like that. They're really, I think, are, you know, iconic throughout generations, The Goonies. And this second book, I actually do have some of those types of iconic movies like Ghostbusters and The Karate Kid. But I also have ones that are much more 80s and ones that people may not have seen, or even if you're not an 80s kid or an 80s baby or necessarily heard of, but they need to be on your list if you're a movies person. So movies like The Outsiders, The Lost Boys, Better Off Dead, even, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a classic. You know, there are people who are a little bit younger, a little bit older that may not know that movie. And I would highly recommend that that's one that you put on your list. So just kind of going through the table of contents quickly. It's The Outsiders, The Princess Bride, Caddyshack, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, The Lost Boys, Coming to America, Better Off Dead, Weird Science, Ghostbusters, and The Karate Kid.
That's so awesome.
That's a fantastic list of movies. So, like, I'm super excited and stoked to read this book. Congrats, you know, I'm very excited for you. In terms of a writing standpoint, I'm curious, too, how do you marry the ideas between the business lessons and the movies? Do you have like a business lesson in mind first where you're like, what movie can I pair this to? Or are you watching a movie and you're like, holy shit, Egon Spengler is doing this exactly?
Yeah. So actually, it's the second. And what I do typically is the first thing that I do, honestly, is I go to IMDb. And I look up the movie and I start to look at the quotes from the movie. That's really where I get the basis for the ideas and the business lessons. It comes from some of the major quotes in the movies. And then I start to look at the characters themselves and the plot. And I go back and sometimes look at the plot and say, what is it about kind of the main plot lines of the movie that may teach us a business lesson? But you'll notice that all of the chapters and all of the lessons have some kind of quote that goes with them. I mean, things as easy, things as iconic as Stay Gold from The Outsiders is, you know, it's a quote that you can use for a business lesson. And then there are others that you wouldn't necessarily think of so much. Just as an example, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the quote from Mr. Hand where he says, I like that. I don't know. That's nice. I got a business lesson out of that particular quote, but I got the business lesson because of the scene itself and the three words, I don't know, and what that means in the workplace when you say those words. And so it really comes from a place of looking at the quotes and the characters and then developing the business lessons from that. And I really honestly don't know how my head or mind started thinking that way. I'm glad that it did, but I'm not sure, you know, it's an interesting way to look at them. And that's what I've heard from everybody. So
go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I was going to jump in real quick on Lost Boys because that's one of my favorite ones. Like, at what point in that movie did you say, I think I have a lesson here? Because I'm just guessing here. I haven't talked to you about this. Is it when they're in the comic book shop and on the back, they're like, here's our number on the back and pray that you never need to call us? Is that the moment?
That is actually those two characters, the Frog Brothers, teach us a very valuable lesson about the workplace, for sure. They absolutely do. And part of it is with the card, it does have an impact on a particular lesson. The one that really jumped out at me first, to be honest with you, though, that is actually one of the lessons. It's funny you say that. But the other one that really jumped out at me at first was when David says, you know, Kiefer Sutherland's character says, come on, be one of us. And he's talking to Michael, you know, trying to convince him to drink out of this goblet that, you know, Star is telling him, don't drink it. It's blood. And he's like, yeah, whatever. That was the first lesson that came out of it. And it really came out of the idea that, you know, here he was with this bottle in front of him. He didn't know exactly what was in it, but he wanted to be accepted by the group. And he wanted so quickly to be part of everything that he was willing to take the chance without really doing the research. And I thought about that in terms of contracts. So, you know, when we get a contract and we don't necessarily look at the terms and conditions and how important those are to look at and what the consequences are when you sign a contract without really reviewing the terms and conditions in the fine print. And that's exactly what he did when he drank from the goblet. He started to become a vampire. He clearly didn't look at the terms and conditions.
Go ahead, JD. I know you had another question there.
Well, I was going to piggyback off of what you were saying before. And like, you know, it's really neat the way that you're talking about how your mind works to be able to take these different ideas and marry them together. And like you're saying, to compare drinking a goblet of blood to not reading the terms and conditions. It's a lesson that, you know, anybody, any college senior, any intern needs to realize as well, like going into the career world. Like, I've been on so many job interviews where it's just a shit show because I didn't read the terms and conditions about going into it. And it's just like, holy moly, this is the worst thing ever. And, you know, I've had the foresight to actually walk out of interviews, which is like one of the most powerful things you can do. And it's awesome. And that's all my rant is about, is how I once walked out of an interview. It was badass.
I could see the two of you in an interview like stepbrothers. Hello, Reed.
Oh,
hello, lady. So back to your what you were saying about the interns. That's in the job interviews. Yeah, that's actually a really good point that I did not think about when it came to this particular lesson, but certainly a very important point that, you know, it's not rushing into things isn't, I mean, there's a time and a place to rush into stuff. And I do talk about that in Better Off Dead as a lesson about, you know, kind of, you know, going down the K-12 without really knowing how to get to the bottom of it and how important that sometimes is for entrepreneurs. But when you're getting into starting your career, sometimes, you know, what looks like the best opportunity because it's the fastest one, it's the quickest one that you can get, isn't always the one that you should take. And a little patience at the beginning of your career can go a long way. And I think a lot of us make that mistake.
100% agree with that.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, given your long tenure professionally and transitioning into your speaker role and your author role, you could probably attest to that personally.
I can. 100%. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that I talk about in the book too, you know, these are things that I've learned over, you know, 24 years. And, you know, I've gone from, you know, kind of being, I guess, a young Skywalker to an Obi-Wan. And I don't know if I should be proud of that because, you know, my friends, and I'm the oldest of all my really close group of friends. So everybody, of course, calls me Gandalf, which I don't know if that's I should be happy about that or not. But, you know, along with that does come some wisdom. It is true. And you do, if you do pay attention to the path that you take and the right turns and wrong turns that you make, you can hopefully impart some of that on people who are, you know, trying to make those decisions. So,
Chris, have you thought at all about trying to incorporate maybe like a horror movie? That hasn't been one of the chapters yet.
Yeah, actually I am. And there's quite a few that I'm targeting. And I do reference horror movies a couple of times in some of the lessons, specifically when it comes to, you know, making really bad decisions, particularly like when you see in a horror movie where, you know, of course the person runs right for the woods, which is never a good thing. And then they go to the car that doesn't start, and, you know, you should never really hook up in a horror movie because that means instant death. So there's just, I think there's some, I think absolutely. And I've kind of have in mind a couple that I think would work really, really well. They're probably the most popular horror movies from the 80s, but they would work really well.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your speaking events and things like that, because I know you've been, you know, since we last talked in July, you're now doing that full time. And you're booking dates all over the place, but I'm really jealous because you got a chance to go down to a con in California, and then you got to talk to Corey Feldman and Sean Astin. Was that a Goonies panel that you did? And I need to know like everything that happened.
Yeah, it was. And so this was NostalgiaCon 80s, and it was the first year for it. So the guy that founded it and put it together, he and his wife, live in Miami, and they actually saw that I was speaking at a small place called the Lab Miami, which is kind of like a WeWork facility down in Miami. And I was, they do speaker sessions, and I was going down there to speak about 80s pop culture and what it teaches us about the workplace. And they saw it. This was back in March, and they came to see me because they were putting together this 80s con. And he is a very successful business guy that sold huge, huge businesses. And this is his dream to do this. So from the very beginning, I was involved and knew that I was going to have a speaking session out there, which was great for me to be able to do that. And I'll get to that in a second. But I also knew that there may be some things that may need some help with on the ground. And so I was prepared and ready to do what I needed to do to help them. And I got there on a Friday night and Saturday morning to call, hey, you know, we had somebody who was supposed to moderate the MTV VJ reunion, but he's stuck in traffic, typical California, right? I mean, he could not make it. He was literally stuck in traffic. Can you do the MTV VJ reunion moderate the panel? Of course I can. You know, this is Alan Hunter and Mark Goodman and Nina Blackwood. Yes, please. So I got to moderate that panel, which was awesome, and ask them some really cool questions I was curious about, you know, the history of MTV and whether, you know, they thought it was going to be what it actually ended up being, how huge of an impact it had on culture in the 80s and early 90s. And so I did that. And then I came off, and about four and a half hours from there, I had to do my session on my book. So I was going to go up to my hotel room and kind of get prepared. And they came up to me and said, hey, can you do the Goonies panel? And I said, well, yeah, sure. When is it? 15 minutes. Okay. I didn't prepare for that one because I already knew – I know the movie, you know, probably as good as they do. And it was so exciting to meet Sean Astin and Corey Feldman and to be at that level where I was actually engaging with them in the audience and getting the questions asked and asking them questions. And super cool guys, very cool guys, really, really nice, really into the audience and the fans. They were really into the people. And you could tell it was genuine. It was really genuine. I think sometimes when you see a movie like The Goonies that's been around for as long as it has, it's still having an impact. It really does, even for guys that have been as successful as them. I mean, think about what Sean Astin has done since The Goonies. He's had an incredible career. Yeah. I think it's still surprising to them. And I think that's why they get so excited when they see people 30 years later, 40 years later, still excited about something that they did. And you could see that they were almost as excited as the audience. It was really cool. So that was an amazing opportunity for me. I will tell you one thing that I had an opportunity to do and I turned it down. Because I got to be honest, I don't get intimidated a whole lot, but this intimidated me because it would have been a one-on-one interview. And I'm not a one-on-one interview person. I've never done that before. I'm not, you know, this isn't what I do for a career. But I had an opportunity to do the one-on-one interview with Christopher Lloyd. And
Oh, let me take that in for a second. Okay, go on.
I had the opportunity, but I'm somebody who knows my limitations, and I think it's a really important thing to know. Mm-hmm. There are times where you can kind of fake it a little bit, but you also have to understand your limitations and know when you're crossing a line that might be a little too much. And I felt like it wouldn't have been fair to him based on the fact that I'm not a one-on-one interviewer. For my first opportunity to really have a conversation with Christopher Lloyd, who, you know, we all know as Doc Brown, but I also grew up with him as Reverend Jim on Taxi. I just didn't think that I would be the right person. And there happened to be a guy there from K-Rock in California who's a classic DJ from the 80s and 90s who's great. His nickname is Poor Man. You can look him up. And he does this for a living. And I asked him if he would want to do it, and he did it. And I'm glad that he did, because it went much better than it would have gone. And as much as it would have been awesome, you know?
Yeah, that would have been so cool to if you could have got the panel of Back to the Future and had Biff and Lorraine, like, you could have definitely done that for sure.
100%.
Back to the Future.
100%. But one-on-one interview viewing is very different. It's a special skill. Yep. You know, I felt it was important for him to have somebody who really knew what they were doing. I did do a one-on-one. It was supposed to be two people, but Zach couldn't make it. But I ended up with Scotty Schwartz from A Christmas Story.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was Flick, you know, the kid who put the tongue on his,
yep.
His tongue on the pole. So I did actually do a one-on-one with him, but that was pretty easy. He's really easygoing. And I think, you know, it's very different than you know, having Christopher Lloyd sit in front of you. So
yeah, Christopher Lloyd has, what, about 250 credits on his IMDb?
I mean, insane.
A little intimidating.
I thought it was going to be Christmas Story's going to be more of a panel anyway. So that's why I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then I did my own session on my book, and I was surprised. I had probably 50 people in my session, which, you know, considering all of the celebrities and everybody who was there, I was not expecting that. I thought I was going to have an empty room just because who am I? I'm a guy who wrote a book. And, people were fascinated by the topic, which really excited me. And it was really humbling to see people who spent money to come to this con and they came to my session. That was really a really cool moment for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, hopefully it did well enough to have a second one, and they'll bring you back next year when it circles around. And you'll be like, well, I need a little bit of help, and well, I know a couple guys.
Yeah, I know. That's right. I do know a couple.
There you go.
Yeah, guys, maybe you could do your podcast from NostalgiaCon.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that would be awesome. I saw those photos. I remember texting you because you put up the photo of you and Feldman. I was like, I need to know everything.
Yes.
Did you get to talk to them when you took that photo, or was that just a quick, hey, let me grab a photo, and then they took off?
I talked to them for a couple of minutes. They're super engaging guys. They're both really, really nice. I mean, I think they're very different in their approaches to life and everything in general, but very cool guys. And they, like I said, I thought the coolest thing about it was that they were genuinely excited about people's excitement to see them. You could really tell. You could see it. It was really cool. Yeah.
No short round, though, huh?
No. I mean, I think, I would suspect that when this happens again next year, that they'll have a larger panel for the Goonies, because it was one of the more well-attended ones, even with just the two of them. Sean Astin was a huge win. Corey Feldman was a huge win. I mean, you know, to get those two guys up there, so cool. I mean, it was, you know, and I would love to have met Chunk, but, you know, that would have been cool for me.
I don't know that he really does those very often. Maybe like one a year, but he's so busy being an entertainment lawyer, he's not really doing the whole Comic-Con thing.
He's done very, very well for himself. And unfortunately, Sloth passed away years ago, which would have been amazing. Right. Matuzak would have been awesome. But yeah. So it was amazing. It was a great experience for me, great 2-day experience for me. I got to, you know, see Dokken up close and personal in concert, which was awesome too.
What's coming up for you as far as speaking events? Anything you want to promote on that side of things?
Yeah, I have. I'm actually have quite a bit that is about to happen for the beginning of the year that I can't, you know, confirm at the moment. But I do. One of the things that was great is when I decided to leave my job, I did have a manager, a speaking manager, who is actively booking me for conferences and events, which is really great for me. And she's awesome. She was in the entertainment. She grew up in the entertainment business, so to speak, and really knows a lot of cool people. It was one of the reasons I was able to get Ed Saxon's endorsement, you know, from Silence of the Lambs, which was awesome. But the next big one I have is going to be Disrupt HR, which is in Miami. Now, Disrupt HR is all over the world, and it's a really cool form of presenting because you have 5 minutes, you have 15 slides. Your slides change every 15 seconds. I think that's or 20 slides. 20 slides, 5 minutes, your slides change every 15 seconds. So it's a really different approach to presenting. So that's one that's coming up next for me. Super exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, let's plug the book one more time and we'll wrap up the interview and we're going to get to our top five list here, which you guys will hear in a couple of days. But let's drop the details one more time, Chris, on where everybody can find the book, buy the book, or if they're listening to this today, which is Tuesday, you can pre-order it one more day and then get it tomorrow.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So great. So yes, both books are available on Amazon. As of tomorrow, the second book will be available on print, and then probably within 24 to 48 hours, it'll be available on Kindle as well. The first book is available in print and Kindle also. You can pre-order it up until November 6th, which is tomorrow. Once it goes live, the price will go up to $18.95. It's currently sitting at $15.95. So pre-ordering it, you save a couple of bucks. And the first book is $10.99. So a little less expensive if you want to test out the first book. But I would highly recommend buying both, of course. I think they play off of each other pretty well, and there is some interaction between two. I will also tell you that for those of you that are big 80s fans, there is a little Easter egg at the very end of the book. So you've got to keep flipping the blank pages at the end of the book for your little Easter egg if you're a big 80s person. And if you are, you'll know it exactly when you see it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's very – let's put it this way. I got the idea from I believe it was Deadpool 2. Think it was Deadpool 2, but I got the idea from there for the Easter egg. And yeah, you can find me on social media on my Instagram. It's Chris Clues 80s 80s. Twitter, it's 80s pop culture. And that's again, 80s pop culture. And then it's Chris Clues on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
There you go, guys. Go ahead and check that out. Go over. If you want to buy the book. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. ChrisClues.com. If you want to learn a little more about me, my speaking engagements, the book, my content, chrisclues.com is the best place to go.
I was going to say, that's probably where, if you want an easy place to go buy the book, just go to chrisclues.com and go to his shop tab. Or actually, do you have one on the website for that?
I link right to Amazon right now.
There you go.
So yeah, you can link right to Amazon from there. Or just go search Chris Clues on Amazon. If you type in 80s pop culture, the book comes right up.
There we go. Check that out. Support them. Support us. We're actually part of the book. It's crazy to think about that. So thanks again, Chris, for coming on. We look forward to having you on the next episode, which you guys will listen to in a couple of days, but we will be recording in a couple minutes. So check that out when it drops. As always, subscribe to our podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, CastBox, IGTV, and YouTube. And then you can follow us at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, or you want to follow us or JD's blog, you can check that out over at backintimepod.com. But we're going to wrap it for now. Hop back into our DeLorean, and we will talk to you guys in a couple of days. Thanks for listening. See ya.